What would you do if you got scammed? Would you suffer in silence, or would you do something about it? Well, I got scammed once, and this is the story of what I did. I'm Justin Sales, the host of The Wedding Scammer, a true crime podcast from The Ringer. And for 7 episodes, we're hunting a con man, a guy with a lot of aliases, a guy who's ruined a lot of weddings. And with the help of some friends, I just might be able to catch him. Listen to The Wedding Scammer on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30
what
minutes.
What a story to start the show.
Oh my God. It's probably the biggest, most important story in the history of Food News.
Okay. You know, I like the heist. They're kind of like my corner.
Yeah.
I just want to say.
Your corner's been stolen?
I need help with this one because it is a web of lies and ties and digital spies. And it all goes back to what the core of all the food heists are to me. Two words.
What's that?
Inside job. Please explain, Ms. Littman.
First of all, I just want to shout out Amelia Nierenberg, who wrote this
big
piece
shout to Amelia Nierenberg
from the New York Times, which my mother sent to me at 5:20 a.m.
Big shout to Betty Jane.
And Amelia, we see you and we thank you for your tireless work.
You are seen, Amelia.
Amelia wrote a piece about a Kit Kat shipment that had an initial cost of $110,000. It was rare flavors coming from Japan that were going to be sold eventually retail at a candy store in New Jersey.
But they're also like, there's a mailing aspect to this.
Yes.
So you have subscribers and you get like a rare candy package monthly, I assume, something like that. So there is some sort of built-in demand for this shipment.
Yes.
So it's not just like a blind, like, hopefully I can get these things
off.
Have you ever
done a candy subscription or sent one to a friend?
No.
Awesome gift.
Really?
No joke. Like, seriously, it's a great, great gift where there's a bunch of different ones where you can like, it's like 6 months, 3 months. I once did this with my college roommates. We sent one of them like a cookie subscription, but a candy subscription is awesome. You never know what you're going to get.
Great.
And so 1 week or 1 month, subscribers are supposed to get these different Kit Kat flavors, including matcha and some of the other ones we've had on this very show.
Yeah.
They are delicious and they are popular demand in Japan and America. So $110,000 worth of Kit Kats that were going to be resold for a value of $250,000.
Buys them from Japanese Crate.
Yes. And they were shipped over.
Weird. Yeah.
They were sailed over from Japan.
On a boat, a sailboat.
To Long
Captain
Beach,
Jack Sparrow,
California. And from there, they were to go to two different shipping companies to truck the Kit Kats to New Jersey.
In the Inland Empire.
So have you ever shipped a car?
No.
So I shipped my car a couple years ago. When you ship a car, it's like just you show up to a corner, a car carrier truck arrives, you see your car loaded onto the truck, and you hope for the best. It's like, hopefully you see it in 10 days' time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Luckily, I did, but it is like the sketchiest business. And you do, and like, it was like $1,200 to ship my car across the country, which is like a shit ton, but I was like, I just have no choice here. And like anything could happen to it. And it's kind of similar with trucking of foods, which we have been coming up against with all these different truck heists,
yes,
the food truck heists. Because what happened here is that after Japanese Crate acquisition brought the Kit Kats to California, two other companies were then going to store the Kit Kats until they were picked up by another trucking company.
Yes.
There was a man.
Shane Black,
not the director. You know the director, Shane Black?
I don't.
He's a film director. he was in charge of getting the Kit Kats from California to New Jersey.
And he's like a trucker dispatcher, essentially. Yeah. So he works by himself, is a single-owned company, an entrepreneur, business owner. But basically what he does is say, you need a trucker, call Shane Black. And then what he does with that is he basically posts on like the task rabbit of truckers. Does anyone want to take this from the Inland Empire in California to New Jersey?
So he was coordinating the trucking for this company called Boksu, which is the candy company,
yes,
basically.
Yes, they're the original purchasers of the candy. The Kit Kats, the 110,000. Yes. Boksu. This is important.
Boksu. They bought the $100,000 worth of Kit
Kats. And then they reach out to Shane Black, say, hey, bring my candy to New Jersey, cool and fresh.
Correct. He is, as the time says, he runs a freight brokering company. So... he then went to his resources. There's a wide network, unseen, of trucking professionals where you basically, there's like a Craigslist and you're like looking for someone to truck this. Someone responds, then you do it. And again, much like me putting my car onto the truck, you just fucking hope for the best.
Yep.
Shane Black hoped for the best and all went wrong.
Well, it was someone who represented that they worked for a trucking company, but they used a Gmail account, which should have been red flag number one, but oftentimes that is what happens in the world. So he says, all right, go pick him up from New Jersey.
So when the shipments didn't get there, he reached out and to Tristan with the Gmail account, and Tristan sent a very shocking email.
It was first of all, he's like, "Oh, the truck broke down in Western Pennsylvania, so we're gonna have to either fix the truck and then take it to New Jersey, or if we can't fix the truck, we're gonna return the shipment to California."
And that's what Tristan claimed happened. And then Mr.
But just the logic of that is ridiculous.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Instead of taking it 400 miles with a broken truck, I'm going to take it 2,400 miles with a broken truck. Like, what?
So Tristan claimed that it returned to California and luckily was in a refrigerated cargo
the entire time.
Yeah, it was refrigerated the whole time. And Shane was really worried about it melting. It turned out all of this was not true, and this was all a scam. And
Tristan himself, like, he was
Tristan sent an email saying, quote, time for some coming clean. I'm actually a scammer, and the owner of HCH doesn't have anything to do with this.
HCH is the company he claimed he worked for. Saying I'm actually a scammer?
And then an email saying I'm a scammer?
And then later on, and then back and forth, he's like, reminder again, I'm a scammer. Now, it's important to mention that Mr. Black hasn't paid Tristan yet.
No.
So it's like, Tristan is doing, he's just like.
This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's just like writing emails hoping for like a Venmo request
or
something.
The follow-up email you're referring to, I'd like to read. Quote. We're trying to make money, sir. I told you, we're scammers. Really sorry. I didn't know your story, and hopefully the loads get to New Jersey. If I was trying to impersonate a scammer, it was like using Google Translate, this is the email I would
That's
write.
Like ChatGPT. Yeah. ChatGPT, like, all right, I'm a scammer. I need to come clean.
I think ChatGPT would do a better job.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
This is a really...
Again, I'm a scammer. I'm trying to make money from you illegally and manipulate you and take advantage of you. How many times do I have to say this, Mr. Black?
Okay, so at this point, Shane Black knows that he's been scammed by the I am a scammer, Tristan. But he still thinks the Kit Kats are in the Inland Empire in Southern California at a place called Inland Empire Cold Storage and another place called Anytime Cross Dock.
Yeah.
So he still thinks there's a way to get these Kit Kats. He doesn't pay a storage fee because they've been there for weeks when they were supposed to be in trucks.
And he pays $2,000 out of pocket to get them released. And he also writes back to the person that hired him. I believe his name's Danny, who owns Boksu. And he's like, by the way, we're having some trouble with this.
Yes. So then he calls another transport company that he thinks has access to the Kit Kats.
Basically the same thing he did before with Tristan.
Yes. And this is the email that Mr. Black says. I've been writing you for days now. I called yesterday and you hung up and now your phone says it's out of service. Then he said again, how do you make money on this? 3 question marks. Are you going to sell Kit Kats on the corner? 3 question marks. Which, like, yeah, you could.
You could. Yeah. Stand outside of a high school. You'll get rid of those things in like 6 months.
So that was to the one in Ontario. The other one at Inland Cold Empire Storage, like, still had it allegedly. But then he basically went back to Inland Cold Empire Storage. and explained what was going on and said that his contract with them was with a man named Harry. Harry was the one who was responsible for getting the Kit Kats to him.
Yes.
And then apparently it turned out there was no Harry. What a shock. Another person wasn't a shock. Or another person can't believe it. He couldn't get the Kit Kats at all. So then he got the police involved.
They're like, we don't care, basically. That's kind of what the police said.
And what they were supposed to do at this point was he needed to prove ownership of the Kit Kats.
Yes.
But Boksu was like, we don't have anything. And Mr. Black was also like, I don't have anything.
Yes. So at that point, they're like, well, huh. And then the Boksu owner filed an insurance claim.
Correct.
Interesting twist. He's like, I'm out of $110,000 of product. Mr. Black said he would bring it to me. He didn't. He violated our contract. I'm a victim. Insurance, pay me money.
Correct. And in the meantime, Shane Black is out $2,000 for the storage fee.
Yes.
And he's been fired by Boksu.
Yeah, yes, he has. And then there's a twist at the very end.
At the very end, I'm just going to read straight from Amelia Nierenberg. In possibly the strangest twist on the Kit Kat trail, Boksu announced in September that it had acquired Japan Crate, the original company that brought the Kit Kats from Japan.
That he bought the Kit Kats from.
Yes. The Times discovered that the acquisition had actually been completed back in June. So Boksu, through a wholly owned subsidiary, had in effect overseen the loading of its own Kit Kats onto the original two fraudulent trucks.
Boksu bought their own Kit Kats
and then lost their own Kit Kats.
Hired someone to ship them. They lost their own Kit Kats and then wanted insurance to make up for the loss.
And basically blamed it all on Shane Black, being like, this guy fucked up.
He got scammed. Shane Black is just like some dude working the phones trying to get some trucking stuff done.
It's really fucked up. It's really, I feel bad for Shane Black. Although I feel like Shane Black also was like, you know what? I'm going to the fucking New York Times. And I'm glad he did.
Yes. And it's also just a very 2023 food news heist.
Oh my God.
Is this
fiction written for us? Are we in a simulation?
Another thing was also like trucks are disappearing left and right. Like this is crazy. There's another story in the rundown where just like 32,000 crates of Twisted Teas were just disappeared. And it says it's an inside job. 32,000 crates. Think about a crate of Twisted Tea and how heavy and big that is. Now think about 32,000 of those.
Insane. So
food trucks.
I'm on the Boksu website right now.
Okay.
Boksu offers four different snack box subscriptions. It's the cheapest if you do for the full year.
Mm-hmm.
What would you want to pay for a candy box subscription?
Say $20 a month. So we'll call it $250.
It's $40 a month. If you do a full year.
$500. It's a lot. It's a big gift. Like, if I'm going to your wedding, I'm probably not getting you a $500 gift, right?
Yes.
So it's going to be your birthday, which happens every year. I'm definitely not giving you a $500 gift.
It also says free shipping from Japan.
Oh, God.
So I guess that's, like, technically true if the Kit Kats originate.
Or if the Kit Kats never existed. It is free shipping. Yeah, if you buy them from yourself, it's free shipping.
And it says free shipping, free worldwide shipping, 20 plus Japan exclusive snacks, new themed curation every month, support Japanese family businesses. I mean, the last part I certainly can get behind. But now that I have this Times article, I've got a lot of questions about what's being advertised.
It's also a 2023 thing in the sense that everything's like digitally tracked. And if you're Shane Black and this guy named Tristan is like, they're in, the truck broke down in Pennsylvania, you have no like evidence that it didn't happen.
Of course.
Listening to some guy named Tristan, and we're talking about two truckloads worth of Kit Kats.
The crazy thing is, like, trucking is just as primitive as it probably was, like, 30 years ago.
I mean, how could it be less primitive? You put gas in the truck, drive it down the highway. Like, I just, you know, and they're not hoverboarding.
So we've learned two things in doing food news for approaching 2 years.
Yes.
One, don't take a nap in your truck. Like, and if you're going to, don't do it in Philadelphia.
That's one thing we've learned.
That's one thing we learned.
Yep.
Number two, if you get an email from someone saying, I'm a scammer.
Yes, believe them.
Believe them.
Believe them.
Believe them.
Yes.
Shane Black.
Shout out to you.
Best of luck. I hope that you get those two G's back somehow.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I feel like there'll be more updates on this story.
I look forward to them.
Me too.
You can always get them here on Food News. So now we have to rapid fire some stories.
Next. long story about Erewhon in
long
the cut.
Long story.
It turns out that Erewhon is like not some new overpriced trendy store. It's been around a long time in California.
In Boston. They were like Boston. In a basement in Boston in like the 60s. It's also like, I mean, again, we don't have the 45 to 75 minutes it would take for us to break down the whole story of Erewhon. But I thought Erewhon probably popped up in LA in like 2005, kind of riding the wave of like macrobiotic organic stuff. No. It started with some like culty hippies that like wrote and sold. They sold books about a diet and then sold out of the back door and sold the food out of the front door. And it was just like some 20-year-olds selling grains out of a basement in Boston.
It's been around for 57 years.
Yeah.
That's older than you.
Also, one of the biggest takeaways, first of all, just for anyone listening to this who's a normal civilian that doesn't like live in Los Angeles, Erewhon is like Whole Foods exponentially more earthy, crunchy.
And also like way more expensive.
Yeah.
And like way more like LA trend. It's sort of like if Cher Horowitz and Clueless had a grocery store chain, you would imagine it to be Erewhon.
I have no idea who that is, but it's like it's a Saturday Night Live skit of an LA grocery store. That's the best way to explain what it is.
Perfect.
And the biggest takeaway from this article, I mean, I read 9,000 words about the history of this family and this business. Was, do you know what the name Erewhon is?
What?
This is gonna blow your mind.
Nowhere.
Nowhere backwards.
I knew that. Yeah.
I had no idea.
I knew that while living in Los Angeles.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I've always wondered.
But it's not exactly, though, because it's N-O-H-W-E-R instead of N-O-W-H-E-R-E.
Oh, I wasn't even smart enough to figure that part out. Didn't even think about that.
Well, when I lived in L.A., I thought about it. All right. Next story. Mindy Kaling wants to be congratulated for bringing a plane.
Can I put a button on the other story?
Sure.
Okay. The son of the woman who was one of the main founders of Erewhon hurt his knee, was moved to Los Angeles because they didn't believe in Western medicine to have bone therapy. And then he grew up. We had the whole story. Erewhon grows, they sell it, it goes bad, it goes good. The whole behind the scenes story of Erewhon, right? And that son who hurt his knee started his own wellness company.
What is it?
Peloton.
Wow.
Whoa.
This family's influential.
I need to be a part of this family.
Can they adopt you?
I don't know. I'll marry into it. Sorry, Joey.
All right, next. Mindy Kaling wants us to congratulate her for bringing her own food on the plane.
That's a really, really biased way of presenting this story as an objective food journalist.
I want you to present it in your way. How would you describe this story if someone's asking you about it?
Mindy Kaling wants us to congratulate her for bringing her own salad on the plane. But honestly, like, you know what? I love Mindy Kaling, and I'm excited.
I do.
This is kind of a dick move.
By Mindy Kaling or by me?
By Mindy Kaling.
Oh, I thought by me. And I was like, yeah, I don't like her.
Yeah, well, it's also like, look at me. I brought my salad on
a
plane.
I'm so healthy.
Because the food is just so like, it's so processed and it's not normal. So, and you know what? You know where I got this recipe from?
Jessica Biel when I sat next to her 20 years ago.
I copied her and I'm going to tag her in this Instagram post and then she's going to respond. And now we're going to talk about it on Food News. And the salad doesn't even look good. And also, like, part of the whole point of travel is, like, I can now eat unhealthy because this isn't real life.
Also, there's so many foods from home that you could bring on a plane that's smarter than
a
salad.
Make a sandwich.
Your own Tupperware that's going to, like, leak and spill.
And, like, one of the main concerns about travel is just space and packing. And how much can I fit into this carry-on to make sure I don't have to check it? And now she's got a gigantic Tupperware thing. And the salad takes up 40% of the Tupperware thing.
It's so outrageous.
And let's not even discuss the dressing already being mixed in.
Huge mistake. Just disastrous.
It's in that in the salad.
Do better, Mindy Kaling. We will not congratulate you.
Wow. Mindy Kaling catching so many strays.
She really is. All right. Next. DoorDash is warning people to tip. Otherwise, you're going to get bad service.
So if you click on no tip, a pop-up comes up and says, cool, you don't have to tip, but just know, you know, it might take a little longer. And they go on to explain it in sort of like a legal way of being like, listen, these are all freelance employees and they can decide whether or not they're going to take an order. I like it.
I like it as well. However, I also think this is DoorDash like passing off responsibility for not like paying people more.
Sure.
But also tip your delivery people and also do it in cash. That's one thing that I have questions about.
Ooh.
Because
what if you go DoorDash, no tip, you get it,
right?
Takes longer to get there, but then you want to tip in cash to make sure that the carrier of your food gets the money directly.
So I'm worried that DoorDash is doing this for their own
benefit.
They
should put a cash tip box.
Yeah.
And then
if you don't give cash,
then you get negative.
You get like a strike on your account. That's what how it should go, because I would rather give cash to my person. Also, I'm going to give you more if I'm going to hand you cash, honestly.
Oh, I'm not.
Oh, I definitely am. Like, for example, I had groceries delivered and I only had a 20, and the delivery guy was like, I was like, do you have change? Like, can I get 10 back? And he was like, no, I don't have any, like, just next time. And I was like, no, like, how much change do you have? And he's like, I have 8. And I was like, okay, I'll take 8. So he got $12 and I tried to give him 10. Like, when a delivery person comes to my door, they're doing their job. I don't want to like not compensate that for them. And I would rather pay more than if I was just doing like 10% and you get like $4.57.
So one of my problems, this is the default setting is 20%. I find that's a little high.
It is high.
You're already charging me like this fee on top of this. I always click down to 15% every single time. I think that's, but it's never like, 15% is never like $1.50.
But like,
you know,
seeing
what I mean?
It compiled in your tab is like way more upsetting than I'm like handing out $10 that I hadn't like had put in front of me and like a log of how much I'm spending right now.
Since these people aren't smart enough to sponsor this podcast, I'm just going to say, when I click on the actual food, I'm like, oh, $18 for a salad. Cool. Somehow that turns into $28. Yeah. I'm just like, how did we get from like a $13 salad to a $30 charge?
I don't know. It's really, I'm just worried about DoorDash's motives here. I need to know more.
I'm just trying to extort them into sponsoring the pod.
Well, they're definitely not going to, because I'm calling them out.
Well, so. It's kind of like when the mob breaks your window. But guess what? You got window problems? I can make that go away, DoorDash.
10 minutes.
Whoops. You want to share about the stolen tea from Memphis?
Well, I teased it earlier. I kind of boxed it in with everything else. It wasn't that much. The only thing I want to share is the very last sentence of the article. There was 32,000 crates stolen in Memphis. Again, 32,000 crates. Here, I'll just read it to you because this is very important. The report goes on to say that tea was loaded up on trailers at Blue City Brewery and East Rains Road. About 17, 18 trailers worth of drinks were shipped to Boston Beer Blues location on September 1st, the report says. And the last sentence was in the article, it's likely an inside job.
Wow.
Boom.
So you've been right this whole time.
Inside job. David, inside job, Jacob.
Should we start calling you that?
Yes.
All right. One final note. Did you watch Beckham on Netflix?
I have not yet.
Oh my God, you're fucking missing out. A huge part of it, not huge, but like a focal point for me is that David Beckham has like an outdoor like kitchen den that he cooks in, and he's like really into, and he cleans it a lot.
Lives in LA?
No, this is in his house in like the Cotswold in England. They live in London, primarily in Miami, where he's running Inter Miami.
Right.
It's a $60,000 tent that comes with like a stove and like a griddle and stuff.
I'm honestly, sounds like a good deal. Just think about how much a house costs. You're trying to tell me I get like a kitchen and I get walls and a roof?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good deal.
Great point.
I'm going with that's a steal.
All right. Let's get into today's taste test.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. to find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
I have been wanting to try these canned bubble teas for a long time. They're
canned boba teas. You've seen them. Everyone listening to this has seen them, thought about getting one, but never got one.
Yes. And today's
we're here.
The day.
That's why you listen to Food News.
Today's the day. So one of my concerns is I was given small, normal size straws.
No, I think if you sip from the can.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, like, how will I be sure that I'm going to get boba in my initial sip at the top?
You're not.
Well, that's a bummer.
Okay.
I got three flavors for us to try.
I do want to say each can has 47 grams of sugar. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm going to chug all three and see how I feel.
Just see how it goes. Good. 47 grams of sugar is a lot of sugar.
We got three flavors. Matcha, taro, and brown sugar.
All right.
I feel like brown sugar is really going to be too sweet. I'm going to start with matcha.
Oh, I know brown sugar is going to be the best.
I think matcha is going to be the best. I like taro, though. Jacoby's having brown sugar first. What do you think?
No bubbles. Got no bubbles. Tastes great. Didn't get the bubbles. I'm drinking from the can.
Yeah, me too.
This is not too sweet. Milky, it tastes like, you know how when English people put a lot of milk in their tea? That's exactly what it tastes like. I like that too. I'm up tea in the milk. I'm milk in the tea person. Now Julia's trying to get a boba with the small straw. This is ridiculous.
I'm trying to like lift it.
Yeah, this is like watching someone fish with a shoestring.
I got a tiny bit of one. It's like, it's good.
I'm going to try taro.
I'm going to try one more time to get... I'll do it with my last one, then I'll do that again. I just want everyone to note, with my straw, I didn't have any backwash.
What are you trying to say about my sipping technique?
I just thought, like, you could be worried that using a straw... No, sipping is less likely to backwash. Straw is backwash city.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's straw backwash, though, not mouth backwash.
That brown sugar is good.
Brown sugar is really good. Taro is interesting.
I love taro. It's a flavor I enjoy.
Yeah, matcha, they taste just like what you think. They're very sweet, and I'm going to say that brown sugar is easily the best.
Oh, I like the taro one. I don't think I could have a lot of it. I'm going to try to get another boba.
Okay, good luck. Again, fishing with shoelace. This is the look on her face. She's trying so hard. This is like a regular straw.
Didn't work.
It's actually
smaller than a regular straw. It's a particularly small straw. It's one notch up from a juice box.
A coffee stirrer? Yeah.
Several notches down from your average straw.
Yeah, good point. That is fair. That's very fair. It's a small straw.
What a bummer. All right. I guess it's time for personal food news.
Yeah.
Should we do rapid fire again?
Okay, go.
I didn't come prepared.
Neither did I, but I'm ready.
Oh, my God.
I'll start.
Please do.
Went to Benihana for the twins' birthday. Guess what? It just never disappoints.
Question. I saw this on your Instagram. Do you have to ask for the fried rice and a heart, or is that just standard operating
procedure?
Have you
been to Benihana ever in your life?
I have, but not.
Have they ever not done the fried rice with the heart?
I haven't been in
they
so long.
They do it every single time.
Okay.
So. Yes. And then my kids are like, are we going to...
You're yelling at me. I'm
I know.
Sorry.
They're like, did you order the... My daughter goes to me, did you order the onion with the train in the volcano? I'm like, yes, I ordered that. They do it every time. I don't have to order it.
So what is it?
Oh, my God.
I haven't been in a long time. I'm sorry. Sorry, we're not all going to Benihana.
Food News field trip. Benihana.
I'd love to go.
I would love it, too.
That sounds awesome.
Make it happen, Producer Mike.
Do you think that we could interview our person while we go?
Who, our person?
Like,
our
server.
Uber driver?
No, our server. Okay, yeah. Our Benihana cooker.
Yes, that's the thing is you get a server and you also have a chef.
Yeah, it sounds... The chef is who I was wanting to talk to. The chef doesn't serve you?
No, it's different. Like, the server like, takes your order, gets the drinks, and then, like, the chef is, like, talent.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I, like, just have no personal food news.
So you said, do you want to do rapid fire? And then I said yes, and then you're like, oh, I'm unprepared. And then I gave you like 45 seconds to fill, and then you're like, I got nothing.
I'm having performance anxiety.
How about I do rapid fire?
Yeah, more news from you.
Okay, at Benihana.
Okay.
Follow-up, food news follow-up.
Okay.
At the end, they give you too much food. One thing I've learned is they have like these combos. Like, I would like the lobster and the chicken. I'm going to get the scallops and the steak, and I always order from those. Me and my wife were like, that's too much. So we just ordered, I had the spicy shrimp, she had the spicy chicken, got some stuff for the kids, whatever. At the end, there's leftovers. There always is. So hey, like, we're like, hey, can we get this wrapped up? And the guy's like, cool, great. I'll bring you some to-go boxes.
Oh.
Question for you, Juliet Littman.
Okay.
Given the option.
Yep.
Do you prefer this sort of accuracy and choose your own adventureness of compiling your own to-go box? Or do you want them just to take the plates from your table and come back with a bag?
I don't want to compile. I want like individual dishes to stay individual. So I want them to do it, I think.
I want them to do it.
Why do you feel strongly about it?
It's sort of like, just don't make me do the work. Mm. Like when I do the work with the food when I'm at my house, I left my house. I'm paying an exorbitant amount of money for this. I don't want to do any work. I don't want to scrape off a plate.
It does feel kind of like low end.
It's like kitchen work.
Yeah,
you're scraping off a plate into a thing. You're kind of missing. It's kind of making a mess, and like some of like a noodle's hanging over the side of the thing. Like, no, I don't want to do it. You do this. I pay you. You do the work.
I can't decide. I can't recall if we've discussed this, but I don't really like leftovers. I almost never take them.
I don't like leftovers either.
I almost never take them.
No, but like, I have a wife who thinks she's going to eat the leftovers, so we have to take them home and put them in the fridge. And then 3 days later, I'm like, okay, can I throw these away finally?
And then you just feel even worse about it. It's just easier to get it from your table and not think about your food waste.
Yes, but Benihana leftovers are particularly resuscitable.
I'm about to say, also Chinese food in general is good leftovers. It's like the only leftovers I really like, but...
Yes.
I don't have any personal food news this week.
Yeah, I noticed. Let's go to listener food news.
It's been a week without food.
Yes.
2 minutes.
Rapid fire.
Hey, Juliet. Hey, Jacoby. I heard Jacoby's call for the non-traditional Thanksgiving ideas. Hear me out. A sous vide turkey.
What?
My partner and I have been doing this for 4 years. I don't even like turkey, but I think about this turkey all the time. It's always juicy. It does take a good amount of time and a pretty big tub. We use a Coleman cooler. And the best part is it frees up oven space. You sous vide the turkey for several hours. You only need the oven for about 20 to 30 minutes at the end to crisp up the skin. It is the most delicious turkey I've ever had in my life, and I'll never go back. Love the show and can't wait to hear other non-traditional Thanksgiving ideas. Thanks. Bye.
What? She didn't say her name. Anonymous.
I'm just confused about the sous vide-ing. Oh, okay. My God.
I mean, I know that we are hosts of a very popular food podcast, but I'm not like fully sure what sous vide. I think you put something in a bag and boil it, right?
It's like a pressure cooking, yeah.
Yeah, so you like boil turkey and get it hot, and then you put it in the oven for 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, and I'm confused about the Coleman cooler. How does that accommodate boiling water?
Oh, she meant like that you bring to the beach?
I think they do it in their home.
We need our own food news follow-up from her.
So it cooks the water to a precise temperature, so it's not boiling.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
But it's not cooler you bring to the beach. It's like a Coleman sort of pot. It's a product that you
30
buy.
30 seconds.
That was awesome.
We're really confused.
We're looking at Mike, asking him questions. He pushes the button that says 30 seconds. But I asked him 3 questions in succession. He's just like, bro, you got 30 seconds.
He also was looking at us like we're really dumb. And while I may have brain problems because I had no personal
you cannot
food news.
You cannot heat a Coleman cooler. So it's obviously another Coleman product that's for heating.
We need to look into
and cooking.
This.
But here's another thing that's crazy. I'm going to bring Mike into this. We're talking about what we should taste for the Thanksgiving episode, right? Mm-hmm. Before the show. Take everybody behind the scenes. Break the third wall. And he goes,
Fourth
wall. Good point. The third wall's right there. And then he goes, maybe, he's like, I'll just prepare some turkey. And we're like, what do you mean prepare turkey? That's a lot of work, Mike. He goes, we have a call later that you'll hear. I'll prepare turkey that way. So if there's anything about that call, one thing I do know is it's a lot of work. She never mentioned
work.
The amount of time it takes to cook this turkey. She said several hours. Several means 7 to me. So Mike is not only has no idea how this is done or what equipment it requires, he's already volunteered to prepare a turkey in this manner.
He has to do it, and he has to wear like a GoPro on his head to film the entire thing.
Yes.
I now have personal food news.
Great.
I feel really fucked up from the sugary drinks.
I mean, I know you're a lightweight.
I have like a headache, and I'm like, what's going on?
I mean, I had 3 very liberal sips because I was trying to get boba in each one.
Same.
And my tummy doesn't feel 100%.
Yeah, I'm like, I think I need to lie down.
I think I need to throw up.
On that note, thank you so much to our producer, Mike Wargon.
And our caller, Anonymous.
We call back so we know who you are, and we'll be back next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm.
You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.